Welcome to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco. This episode, In the Locker Room with legendary basketball coach Nolan Richardson. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco. I'm author and oral historian Jackson Michael. Big show this week, legendary basketball coach Nolan Richardson. 30 years ago, he led the Arkansas Razorbacks to an NCAA championship, winning the 1994 NCAA tournament. He took the Razorbacks to the Final Four again the next year. He gave Arkansas three Final Four banners in all. But how much do you really know about Nolan Richardson? There's a lot to his background that few people know about, and you'll hear it through the stories he tells on this episode of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast. Coach Richardson's ties to Texas run deep. He grew up in El Paso, where he was a star athlete for several years. You'll hear all of those stories and so much more in this episode, including about his time as a basketball player at Texas Western, which is now known as UTEP, under legendary head coach Don Haskins. Of course, many of you might remember that his coaching tenure at Arkansas ended abruptly. It was really a shock at the time, and Coach Richardson was very gracious in walking us through his final days at Arkansas. Coach Richardson was inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 2015. As I mentioned before, he grew up in El Paso.
Growing up there was one of the greatest things that could have happened to a kid like Nolan Richardson. It was an experience of growing up among three groups of people. Most of them, in my case, lived in a Hispanic neighborhood. However, growing up, I had to go to a all-black elementary school. And then as I went to high school, I went to Bowie High School, and probably at one time when they integrated the schools, I was a freshman. I moved from the black school. So I could say I had two groups of friends.
We all know Nolan Richardson for basketball. Growing up in El Paso, however, he was a baseball star. He discussed his youthful days on the diamond.
You know, El Paso not having organized sports for kids 8, 9, 10. So I started in baseball, Little League. And the first time I ever played on an organized group was Little League. During those periods, Jackie Robinson was our biggest hero. So I tried to play and do the things that he did to make things better. At that time, I didn't know that I was making things any better, but I became a very, very good baseball player. Made all district at two positions. In other words, I took a position from a player because I was all district first base and all district pitcher. And so that's two spots. With me, I had them both, the position and as a pitcher. I don't think that's ever happened again.
Of course, it didn't take long for the future national championship coach to also become a star on the hardwood courts.
Yeah, I set a record at the end of my junior year. I scored 49 points. I had 24 field goals, and I took 29 shots.
Wow.
I was going to break the record that needed 22 points for the total record. And at halftime, I had 22 points. Already had broken that one. And I go back for 27 more in the second half. I probably am the only guy also in the history of that city to have won back-to-back most valuable players in the city my junior and senior year of the MVP.
Coach Richardson was such an excellent athlete that he even played two sports during the same season.
One time we had a baseball game and a track meet almost in the same field. I ran over in high jump, then ran back to the baseball field for our baseball game.
A And we haven't even started talking about Coach Richardson's football career yet.
Did I did all district, all city, all state in football. Of course, I played a split end. I played that and I played defensive end. Also, I went both ways my senior year.
Despite his all-around excellence, Coach Richardson set his sights on baseball. His choice landed him at a junior college in Arizona for 1 year before returning home to El Paso to attend Texas Western.
I wanted to go to the University of Arizona for the simple reason that it's in Tucson, and that's where all the pro baseball teams had their spring trainings, and a lot of baseball out that way. And back in the day, my grade point average was 2.5, 2.7, somewhere there. If you were coming out of state, you had to have a 3 point. So I needed to go to junior college for a year, transfer over. And that's what I did. I went to Eastern Arizona, which was as close as I could get to Tucson for that baseball year. And decided after I got there that I was going to come back to El Paso, which is Texas Western. They didn't have baseball at the time, and they were talking about having baseball. Baseball did come, but it came my senior year. And I played on the first baseball team at UTEP. Their first baseball outing, I was on that team.
Texas Western's basketball coach at the time was Harold Davis. Soon afterward, Don Haskins took the reins of the minors basketball team. Coach Richardson spoke about both coaches.
I love Harold. He was very convincing for me to come stay back home and lead the minors. And I did that my sophomore year. I averaged 21 points a game and pretty close to about 8 rebounds a game. He was a coach that played wide open basketball, which was geared for my type of game. Then Coach Haskins took over from him, and I got to play for Coach Haskins 2 years, my junior and senior. So I went from 21 a game to 14 a game, from 14 a game to 10 a game. My scoring went down, but our winning percentage went up. I was very happy because we were able to win games.
What do you remember about Coach Haskins coming in?
I probably gotten a lot from him, from the things that he tried to teach us. A lot of it was self-discipline. At the time, when we didn't recognize what self-discipline was and how hard you need to play in order to be successful, how hard you need to work in order to be successful. He was a master of pushing.
Coach Richardson's first experience in the NCAA basketball tournament was as a player. In the 1963 tournament, Texas Western took on the Texas Longhorns in the first round. The Longhorns defeated the Miners in Lubbock, pulling away after being tied at halftime. The loss was a disappointment after a great regular season.
We had played Texas earlier in that year, I believe, in a tournament called the Sun Bowl tournament, and had beaten them at our place. And so we felt pretty confident going into the first round of the NCAA tournament. That was the first team in minor history that made it to the NCAA tournament. We didn't play well. I fouled out Jim Bad News Barnes, who was the big fella who was the number one pick in the United States the next year. He fouled out, and Texas won the ball game. And it was very disappointing because we thought we matched up pretty well against them.
Nolan Richardson's outstanding college basketball playing career had ended. His next stop in sports was, and this will likely surprise you, it was pro football in the American Football League.
I could go play for the San Diego Chargers. I went out there in preseason and messed up my hamstring. And I think had not been for that, I would probably play pro football with the Chargers.
Although he didn't play football at Texas Western, he still almost made the Chargers' final roster. That's how great of an athlete Nolan Richardson was. And football wasn't the only sport in which he had a real shot at the pros. He spoke about how close he came to careers in two other sports and how he got his start in the coaching ranks.
I got a job at the high school that I had been to, which was Bowie High School in 1964. then later, about 2, maybe 3 years later, the ABA started, and I signed a contract with the Dallas Chaparrals. So I went out there, and it was about 80 of us, and she kept the top 13, and I made that cut. So I stopped teaching school and went to the ABA, and that same injury that hit me in football hit me in that ABA, and I was put on waivers. I spent the rest of the season waiting, kind of like a taxi squad guy. Then I came back home to El Paso and started teaching and coaching. So my first job as a coach, I had the seventh grade. We had seventh and eighth and ninth grade on the high school campus, all in one school. So I was a seventh grade coach, then eighth grade coach, and become a ninth grade coach. I ended up signing 3 contracts. The other one was with baseball, which was with the Houston Colt 45s before my senior year. But I was underage to sign, so my grandmother refused to sign and wanted me to finish my college degree, which that's what I did. Greatest thing ever happened, giving me the opportunity to finish my schooling and go to work at what I love, and that was coaching.
When we return, we'll hear Coach Richardson share memories from his Hall of Fame coaching career on the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco.
Hi, this is Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman, and I listen to the Texas Hall of Fame podcast. And if you're not listening to it, you're missing out.
When you come to Waco, be sure to stay at the Hampton Inn Waco, located just a short distance from the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. You'll start your day off with a delicious complimentary breakfast, and you'll enjoy the Hampton Inn Waco's free Wi-Fi, fitness center, and pool. Next time you bring your team to Waco, make the Hampton Inn Waco your home court on the road. Welcome back to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco, featuring championship basketball coach Nolan Richardson. Well, now you know about Coach Richardson's tremendous career as an athlete, but there's even more to his story beyond winning the NCAA tournament. Turns out Coach Richardson produced championships at every level that he coached at. At Bowie High School, he led the school to their first district championship since he was a player. His success as a high school coach earned him a head coaching job at Western Texas Junior College. And in 1980, he took Western Texas all the way to the national championship.
It was so special, first of all, to be able to land a job as a high school coach into a junior college. It was not something that was done every day. It was just, you end up going to somebody's assistant, then move on. I was blessed by having an athletic director who recognized my talents and gave me the opportunity to prove myself. So I signed a contract for 1 year. I didn't realize that after 1 year, I could be looking for a job. That didn't faze me. I just wanted the opportunity. We were very good. That school had already won a national championship. And so I was very fortunate for 3 years in a row, taking my junior college team to the tournament and 2 of the 3 to the Final Four. The last year I was there, I went undefeated and 37-0 and won the national championship.
He coached 3 years at the junior college and posted a 101-13 record. That's an 886 winning percentage. The success put him on the map for a job at a major college, and he was given the chalkboard at Tulsa University. The Golden Hurricane only won 8 games the previous season and hadn't had a winning season in a half decade. Coach Richardson immediately turned the program around.
And in my first year at Tulsa University, we won the National Invitational Tournament, which is the NIT. That was my first year as a major college coach.
Winning the NIT in 1981 was even a bigger deal than winning it today. That's because the NCAA tournament had only 48 teams in it at the time.
There was 48 teams in the NCAA. So the next one was Tulsa. Tulsa had one of the toughest schedules in the country and should have, by all the standards today, been maybe a top seed in it. We didn't make the top 48. So the 49th team was Tulsa University.
Tulsa started the year against Louisville, the defending national champion, which had seven future NBA players on its squad. The Golden Hurricane pulled off the upset, forcing Louisville into an uncharacteristically high number of turnovers. And forcing turnovers would be a hallmark of Coach Richardson's defenses over the years. Tulsa won 26 games in Coach Richardson's first season. The Tulsa fan base responded with cheers.
We were able to go into something that we only saw on TV once in a while with Madison Square Garden. And to go in there and play Syracuse in a championship game and win, you know, it's buzzer. It was incredible. I'll never forget the fact when we were flying back in, going over Tulsa Airport, it was maybe 5,000-7,000 people had gathered at the airport waiting for us. It was amazing. And the next morning was a parade. It's over 10,000 or 15,000 people in the streets. Nothing like that had ever happened from a sporting event in Tulsa's history.
Tulsa won 50 games in Coach Richardson's first two seasons. That was more games than the Golden Hurricane won in the five previous seasons combined before he took over. He also led Tulsa to its first NCAA tournament in 25 years in his second season. The success and the tournament appearances kept right on coming.
We had 26 wins the first year. The second year we had 24. And that second year we went to the NCAA tournament. And the fourth and fifth year we're back in the NCAA. So all 5 years, my teams were in tournaments.
Coach Richardson was lighting it up at Tulsa. Arkansas athletic director Frank Broyles took notice.
I was only 90 miles away, and we played them. And 90 miles away, they heard everything that we did over here. They knew who I was. Had no clue they did, but the athletic director I met, which was Frank Broyles, before they hired me, was at a golf tournament.
A couple years later, Broyles called Coach Richardson and asked if he was interested in making a move. Taking over a college basketball program in the Southwest Conference would be an easy decision for a lot of college basketball coaches. For Coach Richardson, however, it was a heartbreaking choice because of his daughter's serious illness.
At the time that all this was going on, I had a very sick daughter and we hadn't been notified that she had leukemia. And that put a big hard to decide on what to do. And so in the later the hour, he asked me if I wanted to consider it. And I told him no. And he tried to talk me into it. And I said, no, my baby's sick. And we got doctors here and her friends are here. We had a little meeting, and she was adamant about me taking a job at the University of Arkansas. She thought it was a job that I might have a chance to win a national championship also. I did too. So we came over here. I came over with a very sick child who the next year passed away.
The death of a child is devastating to any parent. The loss off the court was far worse than any experienced on the court. Adding to the difficulty, Coach Richardson had taken over the Arkansas program from the very popular and highly successful Eddie Sutton, who left Arkansas to coach at Kentucky. The Razorbacks finished with a losing record in Richardson's first season, the first losing season he ever experienced as a head coach. Arkansas finished seventh in the Southwest Conference in the 1985-86 season. Little did college basketball fans know, there was a juggernaut
brewing in Little Rock.
It's funny, we got in there and we weren't very good, and then all of a sudden we can't lose. We went in the tournament every year. One team of mine, that group of guys, won 3 Southwest Conference championships, and in their senior year they won the Southeast Conference championship. So they won 4 straight conference championships in a row.
Arkansas made its first Final Four under Coach Richardson in 1990. The Razorbacks defeated Southwest Conference rival Texas in the regional final to get there. Arkansas lost to Duke in the Final Four, but the team had a taste for what it was like at the highest peak in college basketball. And there was more to come for the Razorback program under Nolan Richardson. He discussed his coaching philosophy and illuminated why it was so successful.
We pressed you. We zoned you. We did all, you know, I did not coach in the box. We're not predictable. We may play zone tonight, may play matchup the next night, and mix it up. I was more into trying to keep you confused and figure out what we're doing, and I do what I do anyway. That was my whole philosophy. Don't let you do what you do in practice every day.
Okay. So you tried to force teams into playing your game rather than vice versa. Okay.
Absolutely. I would tell everybody, I want a riot, but I want to be in control of that riot. If I can control my riot, I really understand what I'm trying to get accomplished. A lot of guys coach because this is what this guy did and this is how he was able to win. And so that's why you see high school coaches or coaches running almost the same offense that a team has won with, but not realizing that it ain't always the offense. It's the players that are in those offenses. It's the players that are in those defenses. You might have all the pieces, but they don't fit what you're doing. And so in my case, I always thought that I'm going to try to fit what you do best. It ain't my system that you have to do best. But I do so many things, some of those things are going to become natural to you. And that's how we worked. We were both ends of the floor. We score on one end, we'd stop you on the other. That was our motto.
Arkansas entered the 93-94 season ranked number 3 in the polls. The Razorbacks made the NCAA tournament each of the past 6 seasons and had consistently won both the Southwest Conference and later the Southeastern Conference. Arkansas entered the 1994 tournament as the number 1 seed in the Midwest, and the Razorbacks rolled through the bracket. They beat Michigan in the Elite 8 by an 8-point margin, and that was the closest game for Arkansas in the bracket. The other wins were by 15, 12, and 19 points. Arkansas continued rolling in the Final Four, beating Arizona by 9 points. Corliss Williamson, nicknamed the Big Nasty, scored 29 points in that Final Four game. The win set up Arkansas's first ever national championship game appearance. On the other side of the floor stood the Duke Blue Devils in the midst of the golden era of Coach Mike Krzyzewski's reign. Duke was in its 4th national championship game in 5 years. The game started well for both teams. Arkansas held a slim 1-point margin at halftime. Early in the second half, however, Duke went on a 13-0 run in less than 2 minutes and took a 10-point lead. Coach Richardson called timeout in an effort to rally his troops.
We were playing soft, and I have a saying to our players, you know, if you're in a fight, one guy's a boxer and the other guy's a street fighter, who do you think would win the fight? And they would say, well, a boxer, because, you know, left, right. I said, no. Because, see, a street fighter is going to do everything he can possibly do that's legal. And then street fighter, everything is legal. But now in a boxer, you know, they say you jab with your left and step back to your right. And A go to B and B go to C. I said, but what happens if the ball can't get to A or B? What do they do then? Now, street fighter, he's going to figure out a way to do whatever he can do. He can pick up a handful of rocks. He's going to hit you with everything they can. I said, that's what we got to do in order to win some games. Become street fighters. do what it takes. And then you at that point now, you're 10 down. Let's see, can we get into a street fight? Now, if they try to play the street fight that we know we can play, they can't win. We know how to play that. And so to me, that changed the game. They changed the game from a boxer to a street fighter. And we can box you too, but we can street fight you when we need to. A lot of coaches would not understand what I'm saying. My players did because they worked on it every single day.
Duke's next three possessions were an air ball and two turnovers. The Razorbacks ramped up the tempo on offense and pressed hard on defense. In fact, Duke had nearly twice as many turnovers in that national championship game as they averaged all season. After a few minutes, Arkansas trimmed the Blue Devils' lead to 2, and Duke showed signs of fatigue with over 10 minutes left in the game. The persistence and conditioning that Coach Richardson stressed all season started paying off huge dividends, and it was through that conditioning that produced the famous term 40 minutes of hell.
We're coming at you every single time. Knowing I had those kind of kids and working them out 6 o'clock in the morning, they knew that fatigue will make cowards of us all. I borrowed that from Vince Lombardi, and it's a true fact. When you get tired, your jump shot don't fall no more. I preach that day in and day out.
So it's the practice and not the game that was called 40 minutes of hell.
There you go. When they got to the game, they said, hey, you can say to the guys, hey, let's go. Let's give them hell. 40 minutes of it. And seeing that you can print that in the mind, practice in and practice out and work at it. Your conditioning is unbelievable. When the other guy's holding on to his shorts, you say, hey, we just get started.
Arkansas eventually clawed back in the lead. With 90 seconds left in the game, though, Duke's Grant Hill nailed a three-pointer to tie the game at 70. Championship games like this often come down to a huge shot in the waning moments. In this case, it was Arkansas's Scotty Thurman hitting a tie-breaking three-pointer with just 1 second left in the shot clock in the game's final minute. Arkansas went up by 3, and Duke never regained the lead. The Razorbacks were national champions.
People don't realize Thurman was probably one of the best players in the country at that time. Thurman had, in his career, had chances of making a shot at the buzzer to win it 6 or 7 times. And he produced it every single time. You know, he did the same thing against Kentucky 1 year, Duke. It didn't matter what the team was. If Scotty got the ball in his hand going down the stretch, it was something.
Arkansas entered the next season ranked number 1 in the polls. The defending national champions dominated the SEC West and entered the 1995 college basketball tournament as a number 2 seed. Arkansas played their first two tournament games at the Frank Irwin Center in Austin, scratching out a 1-point victory against Texas Southern in the first round. Their second round game against Syracuse was one of the most exciting games in the tournament that year. The Razorbacks won 96-94 in overtime. They won their second straight overtime game in the Sweet 16 before winning the regional final against Virginia to earn their second straight Final Four appearance. In the Final Four, the Razorbacks defeated Dean Smith's North Carolina Tar Heels, a team that featured future NBA stars Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace. That gave Arkansas fans their second straight national championship game appearance. 1995 proved to be UCLA's year, however, and the Bruins topped the Razorbacks in the championship game. Still, the winning continued at Arkansas. By the start of the 2001-2002 season, the Razorbacks had made the NCAA tournament 15 times under Coach Richardson. They'd been to 3 Final Fours and won a national championship. In 2002, Arkansas stood at 13-14 with 1 regular season game remaining, And it looked like Arkansas would likely miss the postseason for the first time in 16 years. And then suddenly, the Nolan Richardson era abruptly ended just before the last game of the 2002 season. The news rocked the college basketball world, and reports swirled about Richardson's comments in a press conference. For this episode, Coach Richardson graciously discussed the ending of his career at Arkansas.
Well, you know, the ending part wasn't as beautiful as the beginning part, but the beginning part wasn't that great either, simply because I was coming into a situation that had a famous basketball coach who had showed them the ways in which they played the game at a speed that they played it at. And I was coming in really unknown, a guy that the average fan would probably say they were just rolling a basketball out there and they're not very good. And so there's all those things were happening. And then I was hired by the athletic director, who was at that time pretty much opening the doors for an African-American to become a basketball coach. We weren't that good. And you could see the few of the fans, not all of them, were not that happy with my coming in and having to do the things that I had to do and try to nurture a sick daughter. Wasn't that their cup of tea? And so I think as time went on, we had to prove ourselves that we were winners and be able to go out and recruit and get some kids in that can do some of the things that I wanted done. I think as time went on, things began to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. We were able to have enough games and win to have an arena built because the fans were just going crazy. We had 8,000, 9,000 seat arena, and we had 10,000 people on the waiting list. So it was made sense for us to house the kind of team that we had. We were going to have to build some things. I think at times, guys grow old in the job. I mean, I got a chance to spend 17 years, and they weren't the most glorious and happiest years of my life, but they were good years that I was able to accomplish quite a bit. And, you know, then a lot of things began to happen, the finances, the contracts, not having to have one, anger because of the fact that the field became to be unlevel. Football was at one time king, and it wasn't as much as king, but it was on its way back. Arkansas having we were having not a good year at all. But if you took all the games we won and all the places we've done and all the money we've made and how the buildings have been built and how the fans have grown twice and three times as many, she said, damn, you got to have at least one bad year once in a while. But that didn't happen with me. So I left it at that. So I instead asked him for the amount, which I said in my press conference, if you pay me by Monday, I will be gone tomorrow. Pay me what the contract had said. And I had said many times, if I don't do my job, I need to be fired. That's who I am. I've always done that. 95, I said it, 94, 95. And I said the same thing. You know, people getting a little out of rage. We lost the game. Hell, we're 25-3, and we lose one, and now it's fire coach. So, God almighty. that's part of the game. You're going to lose some. But those are the things that began to creep up. And then, of course, the year 2000 is when it really hit the fan because I had worked a couple of years, a year and a half or two, without a contract, only a handshake. And I'm one of those guys that come from the old school. You know, you don't have to write down and I have to have attorneys and lawyers and all that. Then I had to go out and do that so I could get myself in the right mode. So one thing leads to the other, and there's things, there's so many other things that are underlining that, you know, I refuse to discuss. But it was enough for me to go the route I had to go.
Although Coach Richardson achieved an unparalleled amount of success at Arkansas, he never coached Division I basketball again. That always intrigued me, and I asked him about that fact.
You know, the thing that I could see is that, you know, African-American basketball coaches in a day is getting a little bit better. If you're fired, you never resurface. And if you did, you're an assistant coach somewhere. But you don't ever resurface. And I think in all the years that I coached, I only remember one guy being resurfaced, the African-American coach at UCLA under John Wooden. He played for him. He resurfaced at Weber State for a while. Well, there I was. Probably, I don't know of any coach that could be in the market or have accomplished and did as much as I had done from a basketball standpoint. There should be another job somewhere that's available for Coach Richardson. Give me anyone that you could hire has better credentials than him. But the part of being African-American, not getting any opportunities, now you're blackballed. You're not going to resurface.
Coach Richardson briefly coached both the Panamanian and the Mexican national teams afterwards. He also had a short stint with the WNBA's Tulsa Shock. In 2019, the University of Arkansas named their home floor Nolan Richardson Court. It was a fitting tribute to a man who faced the worst adversity a parent could face, the loss of a child in his early days at Arkansas, and turned the Razorbacks into one of the most successful college basketball teams in the country.
I had some tremendous tragedy when I first got to Arkansas. We weren't very good. I think we only won 12 games. But then after that, the next year, after she passed away, we won 19. And I rededicated myself in the coaching profession because I was wanting to quit. Because that was just, it was horrible to watch her not being well and had how much she enjoyed the game. But rededication and saying that we'll win a national championship, you already watched us win two of them. And so I couldn't get it to her, but it came a little late, but we got it done. And those 10 years, if anyone would check, from 1990 to 2000, there wasn't many teams that could have played or been as dominant as we were for those 10-year decade.
Coach Richardson was inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 2015. He spoke about what the honor means to him.
I've been blessed in many, many ways when it comes to the sport of basketball and being able to be inducted into my home state Hall of Fame, which I was able to be Coach of the Year in the junior college area for three or four straight years in a row, knowing that that's where it all started in the state. I'm very honored. And my grandkids and great-grandkids will be able to see some of the things that their grandfather or their great-grandfather was able to do, if not giving up. It could have been easy to throw up your arms and say, that's it, I'll just stick around here and finish out. But I never felt that way. And so it's a great honor.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton in Waco. We invite you to visit the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in Waco. And when you do, book your stay at the Hampton in Waco.